on radio, streaming live on investtalk.com, and for our podcast subscribers. This is InvestTalk, above average investing for the average investor. InvestTalk is made possible by KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm serving clients throughout the United States. And now, KPP Financial President, Financial Advisor Steve Peasley.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the Wednesday edition of InvestTalk. It is October 21st, 2015. Now, whether you're just now taking a serious interest in managing money and investing, or you've been at it for a while, you're all welcome. We do venture into the weeds with stock analytics and such, those kind of things, but we also want to be sure you're following along. So please ask about terms you don't understand, or tell me that you want to hear me explain, short selling one more time. Short selling, do you know what it means? We're here for you, no matter your level of experience, all you need to do is have some interest. That's it. Speaking of terms, here's one you may not have heard before. It's negative perseverance. It's something you may be guilty of. Maybe every investor from time to time is guilty of it. Admitting to yourself that you've made a bad investment decision is one of the hardest things an investor can face. And it's all about saving face. In order to save yourself, you refuse to acknowledge the facts, believing you will be proven correct. And in fact, you may well be proven correct, because the market always goes in two directions. Eventually, you will be proven correct, maybe. Now, this type of behavior is called negative preference or negative perseverance. The investor has a greater fear of making a mistake and the consequences of keeping the bad investment. Unfortunately, to the investor, this type of behavior can manifest itself in a bigger ordeal over the course of time if the investment plummets further. It is extremely important for you to know and understand this type of behavior. I'll give you the most common excuse that I hear about this kind of behavior, negative perseverance. And it is, I'm going to wait till I get even, then I'll sell it. I'm going to wait till I get even. What does that mean? Is it 10 years of losing money before you get even? Or maybe you'll never get even. That statement doesn't really make sense, because it ignores the reality of the bad investment you made. I'm not saying if you make a bad investment, you should just get out. You have to understand and admit what happened, what went wrong, and will that thing that went wrong persevere? Is it going to stay that way? And if it is, why are you in the stock no matter how much money you lost? Do you think it's going to get, that's the number one excuse I hear about this negative perseverance. You just refuse to accept a loss. Refuse to accept a loss. I'm not going to accept a loss. I'll tell you what, investing is taking profits and losses at times. Don't get stubborn. Do you have trouble keeping your ego in check when it comes to investing? Maybe you'd like to share your experience. You can be anonymous. You don't have to admit it. So bring your questions or opinions to us at 888-99-CHART. So let's take this question from our 24-hour listener line. Oh, I'm sorry. There's a live caller. So let's go to Harry first.
Oh, hi, Steve.
Hi, Harry.
I was wondering, I work at a company called Air Liquide. Mm-hmm. And it's been a really good company over the years. They've been very profitable. And they give us opportunities to buy shares. Mm-hmm. And so it's a company share purchase deal. And Basically, they're giving us a chance to buy at a 15% discount.
Yes.
And I was wondering, does that seem like a no-brainer?
Yes.
if you want to invest...
Yes, that's a no-brainer. But let me tell you some of the pitfalls, okay? You're already getting it for a 15% discount, so you're already getting free money. That's what that means. Yeah, the stock could go down or whatever. Is it a public traded company?
Yeah, it's a pretty big company. It's a worldwide company.
Okay. Do you have to hold on to it for a certain length of time before you can turn around and sell it?
I do. It's a 5-year it's a 5-year thing, but I already have like a couple hundred shares.
Uh-huh.
I've been doing it. I've been working with a company a long time, so I have a lot of shares that I could sell now.
Oh, okay.
Because I've had them so long. But this is another, you know, they've given us another chance to buy more. And I usually buy like $5,000 worth or something, you know, not a huge amount, but, you know, mm-hmm. something.
So what you don't want to do is get too much over about 10% of your overall portfolio, 401k, your savings account, add all that money up together, all those investments, and try not to exceed 10%. If you buy this new load with a 15% discount and it puts you way over 10%, 15%, 20%, then you might want to sell your old stuff just so you don't have too much. For instance, this is, just today, I don't know if you saw that Valeant Pharmaceutical today really got crushed because a report came out that they were booking sales that were not real, and they, of course, deny it. But one of Justin's friends, my partner, works there and had all her 401k money in that stock. And she lost 25, 30% today, one day. That's the danger. You just don't know.
Are you able to look at the ticker symbol?
Sure. Do you know what the ticker symbol is?
Is
it AIQUF. That F at the end means it's foreign. It's not traded. So I don't have any access to that, immediate access here. I do have at the office, but not here in front of me. So it's
that's okay.
So I see. Is it selling for about $123 a share?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, all I have is a chart on it. I don't have the information on the company itself. Sorry, I can't help you there. Appreciate the call. Thank you, Harry. Appreciate it.
Right.
So, you get 15% discount. You want to do it. I think that makes perfect sense. Yeah. If it's a good company you're working for and you have, it's making money and doing all the right things, yeah. Mm-hmm. When retirees are invested in the stock market, many are steering their portfolios toward higher ethical ground, socially responsible retirement investing. It's becoming more and more popular, and it's going to be one of our major talking points today. Also, I want to talk about the Fed and the box they put themselves in. I've talked about it in previous times, but I think it'd be interesting to go over what the box looks like and, what are they going to do about it? That's a real tough question. Investing lessons I learned growing up on a farm. I thought this was a fun article by Dana Muir. And she has like, I don't know, 5-6 lessons. And I can see how some of them pertain. I thought it'd be fun to go over them. We have had very little economic news this week. So the market has been focusing on earnings. But we've had some, and a couple reports on housing, and we're going to get one more tomorrow that I think we should talk about. Anyways, those are things we're going to discuss. But, of course, whatever's on your mind comes first. So what do you want to talk about? The market had a down day. The Dow was down 49. The NASDAQ was down 41. And the S&P down 12. That was kind of a reversal because they were up in the early part of the day. And then just couldn't hold on to it. Just couldn't hold on to the gain. And so it ended up down. And so, as I said, we're having a heck of a time. The market's having a heck of a time trying to break above this resistance level that it's at. It fell in August, made a low, bounced up, retested that low almost perfectly in late September. Okay, and then October is trying to come back, and now it's hitting resistance. On the S&P, just above the place it bounced from the low, just above resistance, but still pretty stiff resistance. So we have to see if it can break up, give us our year-end rally. We're looking for that year-end rally. Don't have to have it. It's just pretty common. Statistically, it's been common for the last 100 years to get a Christmas rally. But I don't want you to feel that it always happens, because it does not. It does not. It just mostly happens. Mostly. And will that rally be enough? Remember, the market fell like 13% from the top to the bottom in August. And so the question you have to ask is, can it make up that and then rally above it? So we're positive for the year, or just rally from the low? Now, I think it has to break above this year's highs, which is not very high, but this year's highs. And if it does, this year's high, the highest high mark for the year for the S&P 500 was up 3% for the year. And that was like in May. So are we going to break above that? More than 3% for the year? I'm registered investment advisor Steve Peasley. InvestTalk works better when you get involved. I want to hear your comments, share your investing experience. Tell us what's in your portfolio. What sort of mix do you have? Maybe you'd like a second opinion. We're up for that. 888-99-CHART is our anytime number.
This is Sean from New York. Today I have a question about dividend paying ETFs and mutual funds. I just have a hard time understanding how they calculate their yield. Let's say an ETF is paying 3.5%. What does that really mean? Does it mean that you will get 3.5% dividend regardless of how much the stock of those companies go up and down? Meaning that if I start with $10,000 and then I should expect to get 3.5% dividend back on that $10,000. And when my money goes up and down with the fluctuation of the market, that 3.5% will go up and down. Or no. Thank you for your help. I'll be listening to your podcast. Bye.
Okay, good question. The answer is you will get 3.5% on that $10,000 investment in that dividend-paying ETF. If that is the yield means what they are paying right now at the price today of that fund, 3.5%. Now, let's say you spend $10,000. You buy $10,000 worth of the ETF. You're going to get 3.5% if that's what the yield. So you'll get 3.5% of $10,000. But the value of those holdings, the price of those stocks that are inside that ETF, can go up and down. So they can go down 50%. It goes down $5,000 from $10,000 to $5,000. You're still going to get your 3.5% yield off of that $10,000, but your loss in value, $5,000, right? Okay, so you can lose value, but the value can also go up. So you do have to separate. Yield means the dividends amount that they're paying in percentage at the current price. What is the current yield on that ETF? Now, obviously, the value of those things can go up and down, but the yield doesn't change. But let's say it's 3.5% yield at $10,000. Now, what if I wait and it went to $5,000? Would my yield be 3.5% because the value went down $5,000? No, the yield would be different. Not you. You bought it at 10. But if I bought it at 5, the yield in a normal year, world would be double yours. I got it at a discount. See? So my yield might be 7%. You got 3.5%. I got 7%. Hopefully that's clear. Now, if that's not unclear, send me an email. Our InvestTalk number is 888-99-CHART. You can join us right now. I'd love to talk with you. This is InvestTalk. So give us a call. Social Responsible Retirement Investing. This has become very popular. There was a data from Calvert Investments shows 87% of retirement savers say they want investment options that align with their values. And 82% say they want socially responsible investing offered to them in their employer-sponsored retirement savings plans. So this is pretty popular right now. Now, I'm not one of those 87 or 82%. I don't, of course, want to invest. You know why? It's not because I don't want to be socially responsible. It has nothing to do with it. I just don't know what the definition of that is. When it comes to buying companies, what's the definition? So therefore, does it mean that you can't buy any oil companies, but you can buy companies that use solar energy? Is that socially investing? But what if the big oil companies have oil and solar energy? Is that something that I can't invest in? I don't know what it means exactly. And, you know, I'm not sure. I couldn't invest in Boeing. They make airplanes. Well, it's not the commercial airplanes that that would be a problem with, because they also make, you know, military airplanes. And I think that, is that socially unacceptable? Because military airplanes, you know, are used for war. So this is why I'm not sure what it means in reference to investing in companies. I can see liquor companies. I can see tobacco companies. If, you know, if that's something that you think is, you know, there shouldn't be many drinking out there or smoking. I hate smoking personally. But, you know, I'm just not sure about the definition. And therefore, when you invest in these social, I'm not the only one. These socially funded or socially minded ETFs and mutual funds, you better find out what's inside them to make sure they line up with what your morals are that you don't want to violate. And I think you're going to see a lot of conflict in there. So unless you're going to buy individual stocks and know exactly what you're buying, then I could see it. I have a relative who won't invest in Disney because of it's not socially because it's it does something violating their morals. Walt Disney, I'm talking about Disney, yeah, Disneyland. I find that very interesting. You know why? Would you like to know why? Because Disney makes R-rated movies. They make the Disney movies, but they also make R-rated movies. Doesn't like the violence or the nudity if they're in those R-rated movies. So it's very, very tough. It depends on the individual. Interesting, but a lot of people want it. But those people who want it, I wonder how carefully they are actually reviewing what they actually own. Let's get back to the phones. Here's another question from our 24-hour listen line, 888-99-CHART.
Hi, this is Tom from Dayton. I was wondering what you thought of AMRI, Albany Molecular Research Incorporated. Wonder what you thought a fair value would be and what a good entry point. Hi, this is Tom from Dayton.
Okay, AMRI, Albany Molecular Research. It is a very small company, $715 million market cap, so that's a very small company. So it provides contract services focused on drug discovery and development and manufacturing. So it's in the medical research equipment service field. They've made money since 2012, which is, you know, one of my biggest pet peeves is I don't like to buy companies that don't make money. But this one's make money. Made 25 cents in 2012 for 25 cents a share. Then the next year, 68 cents, and then 64 cents. And this year, it's going to make 92 cents a share, and next year, $1.10. So that path I like. And the sales growth path is also moving up nicely in the last 8 quarters. So it's still, though, a pretty expensive stock. It's trading for $17.36. It's going to make $1.10 next year. So based on that, your PE is about $17. About 17. Now, 17 is not unreasonable when the sales have been growing 20 and 30% per quarter recently. So that's not a bad. It's not a bad. And now it has recently fallen in September from $21 down to the 17. And it looks like it's finding support. It's trading sideways for almost three weeks now. And that sideways movement gives me hope that it may have bottomed. But I would like to see it break above about $18, about $18.50 or so before I would buy it, just because you want some strength come in. Good, solid company. Does, it looks pretty good. It's a little company, so it's going to be volatile on you. So be careful. We've reached the halfway mark in the hour, everybody. There's still plenty of time to join in the discussion. We thank you all, everybody, who have voted in our straw poll about our next webinar. We really thank you. We want you to help decide our next webinar topic. So take our instant survey. Choose from our list or write in your own idea. Just go to investtalk.com. Click on the Invest Talk tab and then click on webinar.
Our podcast distribution always made possible by KPP Financial, Steve Peasley, President. One piece of your retirement portfolio can often be overlooked when managing your investments. Your home. That's why KPP Financial has a licensed real estate agent on staff to help you make the important decisions about your home and your retirement. And to learn more about all of the KPP Financial investment programs, just go to investtalk.com and click on the investments tab.
Oh, hey, Steve. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
Yes, I have a question. Kinder Morgan Incorporated. It is one of my highest holding stocks, and it was doing really well, and then it didn't report any good earnings, but however, they raised the dividend. I was just wondering, should in the after hours, it's been taking a big hit. I was wondering, should I buy into this weakness, or should I hold on to it, or should I just cut my losses?
Well, I wouldn't buy the weakness because you said it's one of your biggest holdings. That's what I would not add to it. KMI, everybody, is a symbol. KMI, Kinder Morgan, and they provide natural gas transportation storage services in North America. And it's one of the main reason you buy this is for the dividend, which is 6.2% at this point. But Kevin, I don't think they can keep that up forever. That's a pretty high dividend when you're only going to make 77 cents a share this year and then 90 cents a share next year on a $31 stock. So 6% on $31 stock is $1.80 or higher. So they have to make $1.80 per share just to pay the dividend. So okay. The cash flow is only $1.52. So how are they going to pay that much of a dividend? And the answer is they're not. What they're going to do is they're going to cut the dividend. And I think most investors are coming to that realization. Does it make it a bad stock? No, it does not. It just means that you can't expect that dividend to be that high until prices turn around again. And that may happen. I mean, insiders are buying it. It's not like they're not. You know, the insiders are not abandoning the stock. So I would probably hold on to it, Kevin, because it's already fallen really hard, and it's probably fallen about as much as it's going to do. But I would not add to it. Okay?
Okay.
Thanks. Thanks for the call, Kevin. KMI, that's why you only want to buy maybe 3 to 5% of any one stock of your overall portfolio, because you just never know what's going to happen. No one knows. No, just think of those people who have Valiant today. Let's go to Saeed in Houston. He wants to talk about the debt ceiling. How you doing, Saeed?
Hey, doing good, Steve. I really love your program. I listen all the time. And
thank you.
The way you communicate and bring all the information, that's really, really great, especially you invite people to ask their questions.
Sure.
And
thank you.
Those are really great. I definitely appreciate that. Hey, I have a very technical question, and you have to answer taking little time. Don't rush it too fast, because this is something very important. They talk about all the time about debt ceiling, and this is just keep going on for a while. I mean, it's not in Obama term. Mm-hmm. It has been happening in Bush term, and he never heard it because, you know, I don't want to give hard time to Bush and go for wars and create all that mess. But anyhow, I'm not trying to be politics here. But my concern is when they say raising the debt ceiling, okay, and they say they already spend that money. Okay, so here is the point. if Congress do not increase the debt ceiling and keep it as is, which has already happened last year or 5 years back or whatever.
Well, you're breaking up.
How U.S. becomes suddenly default? I mean, that's the concern I have, that how we become default if they don't raise the debt ceiling. I mean, if they keep the same one.
Okay. So he's asking if we, you know, there's a debt ceiling, and the debt ceiling was some legislation passed many years ago to try to control spending in Congress, and obviously it's failed pretty badly, and it's an artificial construct by the House and Senate and the President many years ago. To say, okay, we cannot spend more than this money, this much money, and it always raises, right? And then they always raise the debt ceiling. So they can produce an artificial crisis by hitting the debt ceiling. And why it becomes a problem is because there's supposed to be automatic cuts. A law that they passed many, many years ago, there's supposed to be automatic cuts to spending so that they cannot overspend. Now, they tie themselves up in this way, and only because they have no willpower, and I'm not talking about Republicans or Democrats, I'm talking about our government, no willpower to control their spending, or to at least agree on what they're going to spend on. Remember, our government is consensus. You're supposed to agree, come to a consensus, okay, and you have this bipartisanship that's, you know, geez, you know, it's very tough these days. And I'm not just recommending that we change our system. I don't think that should be happening. I like our system. I think it's one of the best systems in the world, if not the best system in the world. Government is always imperfect. It's just how imperfect is it? But Saeed, the reason why it's a problem is because then they have to make automatic cuts, and they cut things, and they'll cut government spending. They cut government programs because that's what they cut. And then, you know, oh, we shut down the government. Oh, gosh, whoever it is, whether it's Republicans or Democrats, I don't care. And it becomes an issue. And that's why it becomes such an important issue to the stock market and the economy, because they're shutting down things. And that affects other things. It affects earnings and corporate profits and people's salaries and workers, and, you know, every on and on and on. Thanks for the question, Saeed, and thanks for the compliment. I appreciate that. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. We've had very little economic news out this week. And the numbers, we had Home Builders Index, which was high, very high. It was 61 a month ago. They expected to go to 62, and it was 64. So the home builders are happy. That's what all that means. And we had housing starts, 1.2 million housing starts, most recent month. We expected 1.1, and it was 1.1 the month before, so we got a little bit bump. But more importantly, the things you really want to look at when they come out with the housing start stats is how many permits were issued. And that over a million, so we're still running pretty good. Tomorrow we get the existing home sales report, and they expect 5.3 million. It was 5.3 million, that's what it was. So housing is one of the bright spots of our economy, by the way. Right? Remember coming out of the recession, housing was one of the worst parts of our economy. Now it's one of the best. I had an email from David. He says, love your show. Thank you, David. I listen to the podcast every day as I go to work. I have a question for your show about retirement savings options. I currently max out my 401k through my employer. My wife does not getting any retirement options through her employer and has no desire to move to another job. Our combined incomes are above the income limits to allow us to make contributions to an IRA or Roth. Do you have any tax shelter retirement saving suggestions? Thanks once again for the great show, blah, blah, blah. Okay, you're stuck. You really are stuck when you make a bit too much money and you can't contribute to an IRA. And one of your employees doesn't have a 401k option. And I answer it this way. First, ask your wife to ask your employer to please set up a 401k. It's very simple through the payroll. They don't have to contribute anything if they don't want to, but at least give her the vehicle, her and the other employees, the vehicle to put money away if they want to. And it's not very costly if the employer doesn't contribute anything. And they don't have to. So just to let you know, for this year, 401k, 403bs, you can put $18,000 total away. Next year is going to be the same. The catch-up amount is $6,000. So the catch-up means if you're over 50, you can add, $6,000 to the $18,000. That's $24,000. If you have a defined benefit plan, you could put up to $210,000 away. If you have a defined contribution plan, it could be $53,000. If you have, and so you can put a lot more money away if you have those kinds of plans that may not be available. Annual compensation limits, $265,000. That's going to stay the same. Highly compensated employees, $120,000. That's going to stay. Key employee officer threshold stays the same, $170,000. So those are some of the numbers. If you don't know what they mean, then they don't probably pertain to you. Let's go to Bobby in Sunnyvale. How you doing, Bobby?
Hi, thanks, Steve, for taking my call. I wanted to have... there was a pullback in the stock of Aetna today because of some news, some adverse news, and wanted to know your thoughts on Aetna for the short term over the next week. They're scheduled to report next week.
Now, was there news related to the Valiant news? I mean, because a lot of stocks...
No, it was in general about mergers and, you know, some antitrust concerns, by Hillary Clinton making some comments on the consolidation.
Aetna, everybody, Aetna Inc., AET, provides managed healthcare services nationwide through PPOs, HMOs, HSA, you know, those kinds of plans. Has 46 million members. They're going to make good money this year at $7.53. That's 12% more than last year. And then next year, they're going to make another $8.24, another 9% growth. Sales growth are pretty decent. It's in this, it was double digits a few quarters ago. Now it's single digits. So sales growth has fallen a bit. But it's still a very solid company. It's a $108 stock. PE is around 15, which is market average PE. Return on equity is 17%, which is pretty healthy. Not much of a dividend, like 1%. So that's not really the reason you buy the stock. You really want it for some capital appreciation. It is a very strong, healthy, long-term blue chip stock, $37 billion company. It's not going to go anywhere. It's going to make, consistently make money. You hope that it would increase their dividends faster, but they do increase their dividends every year. They just do it in very small increments, unfortunately. So it's a good, solid stock, Bobby. Do you own it right now, or do you think about buying it?
I just bought a few stocks today on the pullback and wanted to have your thoughts in the next few weeks with the earnings coming up for AET.
I think their earnings will be pretty decent for many of these types of companies. I don't think the earnings are going to be bad. I don't know for sure because I haven't really studied Aetna that closely. The industry should do well, and Aetna is a very well-run company. So I think you're fine on a long-term basis. I think Aetna's a good company. Thanks, Bobby.
Okay. So we don't have to worry too much about the comments and the
podcast. Yeah, I think it's a bunch of noise.
Yeah, okay. Steve, if I
could ask
you one more question about ExxonMobil. Do you have any thoughts?
I don't know if you heard me, but I do like ExxonMobil. We own ExxonMobil on our managed account. We bought that several weeks ago when it started to move. You might get a little pullback here. And for me, that means, Bobby, a buying opportunity.
If you get a
pullback, I buy it. Okay?
Thanks
for the call, Bobby. ExxonMobil, XOM, everybody. Let's go to Karen in Green Bay. Green Bay, Wisconsin. Green Bay, my favorite football team. How you doing, Karen?
Mine too.
And I'm from, Karen, I'm from Southern California, born and raised here, and it's still my favorite football team. So, just so you know.
Well, Aaron Rodgers is from California, so we're thankful that you gave
You had a question
for you. Yes. Thanks for your show, by the way. I have learned a paramount since I started listening. So my question to you is, my employer offers a regular 401k and a Roth 401k. Mm-hmm. And the fees for those accounts, the lowest fee is 1%, the highest fee is 2%. And there's a range of large cap, small cap, mid cap.
Right.
We have an S&P 600. Am I best trying to max out, you know, my retirement savings? My husband and I have our kids' college paid for. We don't have a mortgage. We don't have any debt. So we're just really looking for the best way to save. But are those fees too high? Do we look to invest in a Roth outside, or is it a better deal to just keep it with my employer so I'm paying so much in fees?
Let me ask a couple questions. Do they match some of your participation? Do they match you?
They match 3%.
Okay. So then look at it this way. They're paying more than the fees themselves. They're paying for it. So you really should use your 401k. You really should. And don't pay 1 to 2% is normal. Okay, of costs. That is pretty much in line. Even though I don't like paying it, no one likes paying it. You got to pay for it. So it's, you know, it's they got to make their money, just like everybody else has to make a living. And it's not out of line. 1 to 2%. That's normal. But I think you really want to get that match. And you can put, as I said, you can put up to $18,000 a year away. You can't do that with an IRA. You can only put $6,000 away a year. So if you wanted to put more, and I'm not sure, Karen, what you want to do, if you could put more than $6,000 away a year, then you got to go your 401k. Got to.
And do we do the Roth component? Do I do the Roth component?
How old are you? Dude, that goes to more questions. How old are you? If you're youngish, I would.
I'm 40.
Okay. Yeah.
And I really don't have much in a Roth because it's all right now in a regular 401k and.
Then I would probably do Roth at this point. I would probably do Roth.
Okay.
Thank you for the call, Karen. Appreciate
great.
It. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
888-992-4278. Let's talk to Martin in Palo Alto. How you doing, Martin?
Yes, sir. Good. Thank you. Just had a quick question about healthcare. I think there was one company that reported earnings today, and did it drive the healthcare stocks down or – and just my general question is this a buying opportunity for healthcare biotech, in your opinion?
Okay, Valiant reported, or there was a report on Valiant Pharmaceuticals,
yeah.
And saying they were doing improper billing, and then, of course, they denied it, and that drove Valiant and a lot of other related companies down hard. And in that situation, I would say this is a one-off on Valiant, so therefore other companies that got beat up because of their problems, it sounds like a buying opportunity to me.
Okay.
See, because also the whole aero sector has been beaten up pretty good so far this year, and I think that damage is already built into the prices of all stocks. So I think we're looking at a low. So
gotcha.
So, Martin, I would say yes, but don't go crazy on me. Don't go out and buy bazillions of dollars worth of this sector. But if you were looking to get into the sector, I think this is an opportunity to do so.
Thank you, sir. Okay, appreciate it.
Thanks, Martin. I appreciate the call. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Time for InvestTalk Personal, everybody. The day-to-day money choices we make that can have a lasting impact on our lives and the lives of our children. Most American teens are not learning in high school about the basics of paying bills, building good credit, avoiding debt. They're not talking about that in most high schools. It kind of is your job. I mean, schools can talk about it. Maybe if you want your school to talk about it, you can petition your school to teach that. But it really is your job. But most people don't want to talk about finances with their children. They don't. Why? Probably because they don't do a very good job themselves. Probably. I'm not sure why parents don't want to talk about finances with their children at a certain age. It seems to make sense in their teenage years. And they keep asking for everything under the sun, and you don't give it to them. Well, maybe if they knew the real facts about your finances, it might help them. Or if you want to teach them, there's a book called Make More Money Than Your Parents. It's a little book, and it's for young people, teenagers. I think it's an excellent book. It has a CD in it. It depends on how old. I think it's early teenage years, or maybe 12, 13, 14, that age group kind of book. But it really helps teach them about it, about money. And more about financial, for you and your children, you really, really want them to understand why they can't have a brand new car, or why they should go to the community college instead of to, you know, some very expensive out-of-state college. You know, and you as a parent, I know you want to give your kids everything. All parents do. But you got to be financially responsible. And it is your job, really, to teach your child this subject. It really is. So that's what I think. That's Invest Talk Personal, everybody. And I hope I'm not stepping on too many toes out there. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Quickly, six investing lessons I learned growing up on the farm. The most important work isn't the most glamorous. You got to prepare the soil. You have to really do a lot of work before you plant seeds. And the same thing is true in investment. You have to do your homework. You have to understand economics, the fundamentals of the company, what makes it make money, what makes it grow. And it's not all about yield either. It's about supporting that yield. It's not necessarily yield. It's what you can make off of whatever you're growing. Same thing in investing. It's what you can make, and it's not always the yield that's important. Sometimes the yield looks too good to be true, and it is too good to be true. Just a couple things. Our hour's up. I hope it's been a good use of your time. If you have a question for me, there's another way to ask it besides our 24-hour listener line. Send me a private note. Just go to investtalk.com and click on Contact Steve. I'm registered investor and advisor Steve Peasley, and for Justin Klein and everybody at KPP Financial, thanks for listening, and we hope you'll join us again on the next Invest Talk.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.